and where we can, at a local level or a national level, find a way to partner friends with other people in their community who are also taking action on the same issue. And I think that by building power together like that, we can be really effective.
People are really galvanised to do something instead of just talking about it.
Welcome to Key Witness, the podcast from Quakers in Britain, all about taking action for sustainability, equality and peace. Quaker.org.uk/Key Witness. Hi friends, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Suki.
This podcast is all about witness. Each episode we discuss an issue that Quakers are active on. Quakers call this witness, action inspired by Quaker faith. Today we're joined by regular interviewer Suki Ferguson. Hi Suki.
Hi everyone, and I'm here bringing some good news with me today, which you may have heard, but we're celebrating anyway. So fracking has officially been banned in Scotland, which is a huge victory for environmental campaigners and friends who've worked on lobbying the Scottish Government on this issue. And it also will benefit all of us, really, in preventing further climate change.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the podcast before. We've had a couple of different episodes talking about taking action on fracking, which we heard from different people on. And so, yeah, it's really good news.
And we'll be taking a look at how Quakers have tackled fracking in today's episode. My colleague Maya will shed some light on the dark arts of Quaker decision making too.
I don't know about you, but I certainly find how Quakers decide on things a little bit obscure. So I did a bit of research. Sometimes things are discerned or decided by the early meeting, so the gathering of all British Quakers that happens once a year. But other things come up at Meeting for Sufferings.
Which isn't an odd sort of name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a strange name. It's a historic name that kind of goes back to when Quakers suffered at the hands of the state for their faith. It's now the national representative decision-making body for Quakers in Britain.
And even this year, new records are being added. So, for example, Quakers who have been arrested whilst upholding their faith at direct actions would be added to the Meeting for Sufferings records.
Yeah, now not known as the Great Books of Sufferings that are held in the library, but as the Court and Prison Register, which is a nice little bit of Quaker trivia.
So Quakers have been getting arrested for a very long time.
They have indeed. So that's how some of the really big decisions get made, but obviously Quakers are pretty active on many, many issues, then follow sort of their own leadings and the leadings in meetings as well. They're both individually and collectively. And Quakers can access support for all of this witness from the central organisation, and lots of it is also available to others, like the Turning the Tide work.
This episode is all about making witness happen, which comes from how the central organisation can support friends in their witness, but also in how friends are going about making that happen on their own as well. So it's a broad spectrum of people's level of involvement. But generally speaking, as a faith group, Quakers are pretty well resourced, and it's our job as staff to make sure that those resources are used by everyone who needs them. So if you're struggling with a witness issue or need some guidance, don't be shy about contacting us. We've got trainings, resources, got people on hand to answer phone calls, emails. So yeah, get in touch.
Yeah, because if there's one thing Quakers are good at, it's putting the work in to make stuff happen. And you'll be talking to some of the staff that deliver that work.
Right, yeah, so let's listen to that. I'm here with Gurpreet, Maya and Hannah, who all work on supporting friends to take action.
Hi, I'm Gurpreet Bola. I'm the Economic Issues Programme Manager in the Economic Sustainability and Peace Team.
Hello, I'm Hannah Smith. I'm the Programme Coordinator of Turning the Tide.
Hello, I'm Maya Williams. I'm the Economic Sustainability and Peace Network Coordinator.
Great. So we've been thinking quite a lot about how we support friends in their witness. In recent years, I know there's been an emphasis on answering the need for detailed information so that people can really tackle the key issues with the right facts. But in 2017, there's been a shift towards a more movement-focused approach with an emphasis on training. Gurpreet, could you tell us a bit about why that is?
Yeah, and certainly within the Economic Issues Programme, we've noticed with the New Economy Project that we've really worked hard to provide sort of technical information on the economy. And now to align ourselves more with the movement building approach, I have been discussing for the whole year, and particularly at yearly meeting gathering, the Economic Sustainability and Peace Team are beginning to design a series of trainings. So we're really moving people outside of their heads and more into thinking about how they can take action. And so next year, we're going to hopefully provide some of those opportunities for people to work out what they want to do with the knowledge that they have and the analysis they have in order to bring about equality.
Fantastic. And I know that, Hannah, you've already been working on training friends and even non-Quakers within Turning the Tide. Can you tell us a bit about how that emerged and how that will fit in with any other trainings that are on offer?
Sure. So Turning the Tide's been around for over 20 years now, and we are a training facilitation and support group of volunteer trainers and facilitators and two staff members, myself and Lisa. And we run a diverse range of workshops, courses and resources. But all of our work is focused on supporting groups at the grassroots to work for non-violent social change. And so whether that be, for example, running workshops with both Quakers and the wider community on how to take non-violent direct action with the Trident Ploughshares group, or whether it be meeting facilitation and accompaniment with the Quaker London Banking Group.
And when you say accompaniment, what is it that you mean?
I suppose for me, what that might look like is supporting groups over a longer period of time to build their confidence, overcome challenges, which I know this particular approach is something that Maya within her work is really focused on, particularly working with Quaker groups.
So Maya, could you give us some examples of your work on accompanying different Quaker groups?
My role was created just over 3 years ago, and initially I spent a lot of time getting to know what was already happening within the Quaker community and what people might like to do. And since then I've been working with a wide range of friends, but some of them for over 2 years, as they kind of go through their journey towards social change on the issue that's important to them. So one of these groups has been the Quaker Living Wage Campaign, which is led by Lancaster Friends. And that's something that came out of Quaker Equality Week, an initiative of Manchester and Warrington Quaker Meeting, where they wanted friends across the country to witness to equality, particularly economic inequality. And that happened back in March 2015. And within a couple of months, they had over 60 meetings signed up and ready to run vigils, events, set up displays within the local community during the week in March. Following that, though, Lancaster, who took part in Quaker Equality Week, then took on the Quaker Living Wage campaign that evolved from that. And they've been working alongside me the past 2 years to support other area meetings to become living wage accredited, and also thinking about how Quakers can speak out around living wage with others in their communities.
And it's also worth saying that the work that Maya does is really essential, because whilst we can create training opportunities, we also really gain from Maya's presence for the community and her being able to be there to take phone calls and to be present at meetings.
Which I think is something that's true for all of our work, is that we try to balance the ways in which we proactively offer support and kind of assess where there might be needs that aren't being met elsewhere in the world or in the work, and as well as being reactive and meeting requests as they come, and designing the support that we give in a bespoke kind of way, which is I think probably true for all of the work that we do.
And I guess also, you know, we could send people off to different trainings, but there's a thing about having it, including a Quakerly approach, which I think is also important. So it being really centred around the way in which Quakers identify, witness and take their meetings, and keeping some of that practice within the trainings that we offer.
And helping to build a community around that. So
yes,
taking people outside of their local meeting or their area meeting to meet with others across the country who want to learn the same skill or take action on the same issue. It's important to kind of get face-to-face meetings where they can come together.
So our recent Quaker activist gathering, which Turning the Tide and friends from Quaker Peace and Social Witness help to coordinate, is an example of just that kind of space that we try and create, where friends can come together for a day to do that kind of finding common purpose, sharing challenges together, looking for skills and opportunities to build those.
And we'll be actually hearing from Lawrence Hall, who attended the Quaker Activist Gathering and is in the process of developing concern around housing, but is a great example of he was able from that day to bring friends into the witness that he was taking on that issue. Gurpreet, and what's the best thing about doing this kind of work, would you say, in your experience?
I work a lot with technical information, particularly around things like tax and, yeah, the entire economic system. And being able to distill that into information that is readily accessible and easy to understand, and then seeing friends being able to respond to that and see the change in their analysis and their understanding of an issue is really important to me, and I really enjoy doing that work. And then also thinking about partnerships and how we can work with others. So we're working in the End Hunger Coalition, we're about to engage in a group called Fighting Inequality Alliance, and where we can, at a local level or a national level, find a way to partner friends with other people in their community who are also taking action on the same issue. And I think that by building power together like that, we could be really effective.
How about you? How about you, Hannah? What's the best thing about working as a facilitator?
So I guess for me, and it does feel quite, yeah, it feels very specific to the work that I do. I really enjoy getting to understand what it is that helps groups to come together and overcome the blocks, the challenges, the group dynamics that are kind of holding them back. I'm really fascinated with how what our group's life is beneath the surface and how we bring that to the surface and make conscious choices about how we work together and find new tools and new tricks and new ways forward that aren't apparent to us without that kind of space to come and reflect together and try new things out and experiment. So yeah, that's what I really enjoy about my work.
And Maya, how about you? Is there something in particular about the work that you really take away with you?
So my work's within the Quaker community, and so through in the support I offer to friends, I often see them on that journey as they look at what's leading them to take action and what their discernment is. So what the process for coming to a decision about how their faith is taking them into action. There's a lot of people who I work with who say, I never thought it would be me, but it is, and that faith commitment that takes them on that journey is something that's quite remarkable to kind of see in process. And I'm also inspired by the way our collective discernment process does lead to collective action. So if we think about the fracking minute that was made by Meeting for Sufferings in February, that was something that was brought by Pendle Hill Area Meeting, and Meeting for Sufferings made a statement against fracking and other fossil fuel extraction processes. And then Pendle Hill Area Meeting invited friends from all across the country to join them for a meeting for worship on the top of Pendle Hill, from which you could see the landscape that would be destroyed through the fracking process. And over 200 friends joined in some way. So there were lots of people there on the day who made it to the top of the hill, but there were also other people across the country who couldn't make it, who were upholding and supporting that witness. Since then, there have been regular meeting for worships at one of the main fracking sites in the country, Preston New Road. So friends from across that region have been joining other faith groups as part of No Faith in Fracking Days, as well as responding to government consultations on fracking in Scotland and opposing fracking in other ways. So this collective discernment process that Meeting for Sufferings made a minute has resulted in a wide variety of actions in the past 6 months, which is really inspiring to see.
If you're listening and you're interested in accessing support from the Quaker Peace and Social Witness team, here are like three tips for you. So guys, take it away, Maya.
So get in touch with me if you have an idea for action on economics or sustainability, or if you want to be put in touch with others who are also wanting to take action on that topic, then I can help.
And I'd encourage friends who are interested in the New Economy Project to sign up to Skilling Up for a New Economy, the training that we're doing in November. And if you just have any broader questions around policy, then I also love to hear from you and I can answer those.
And for those of you who might be looking for some support from Turning the Tide in whatever form that might look like, whether that be supporting you to work through your campaign strategy or trying out some new skills for taking action, then you can find our website online, have a little rummage around the resources that are there, or drop me an email and I look forward to having a chat with you about next steps.
Great. All the information that you need to contact Gurpreet, Hannah or Maya will be in the show notes, and I guess it goes without saying that everyone here is looking to help you out in your witness, and we're looking forward to hearing from you. So thanks everybody for coming in to talk.
Thanks.
And I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that was really helpful. I feel like I definitely know who I can talk to about taking action on different things, how to access different resources. And if you are looking for any of that stuff, then obviously we'll put all of that information in the show notes. You can also go to turningtide.org.uk for any information on the work that Hannah was talking about, and listen to that episode that we did before all about that. And if you're a forward planner, there's the Quaker Peace and Social Witness Spring Conference in March next year. It's happening in Derbyshire, and it's aimed at people who are new to taking action on lots of things. So do come along if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about all the different areas of work and ways that you can get involved. I went last year for the first time, and kind of inspiring to see all the different things that people were trying to get involved with and kind of linking up with different people in their area. It was really lovely. It was a really lovely event. So yeah, recently there was the Quaker Activist Gathering. Suki went along and she's been chatting to Lawrence Hall and Leslie Graham about some of the things that they're involved with. So there are Quakers involved in political parties across the whole political spectrum, and for some that forms part of their witness. And so that's quite an important way, but we just wanted to let you know that we're not endorsing any political party from this organisation, but obviously individually people do feel that like people's political views are deeply held, and for many people it is a part of living out their faith as a Quaker. But for now, over to Suki.
I'm here at the Quaker Activist Gathering, a day where Quakers come from all over Britain to spend a day together and contemplate what forms their actions take, what they plan to do next. And I'm here with Leslie Graham.
Hi, I'm Leslie Graham. I'm a Quaker from Norwich and a Green Party councillor and a member of the Quakers Economic Sustainability and Peace Subcommittee.
It's quite a mouthful. So it'd be interesting to hear from you, Leslie. What is it that has moved you to take action through your Quaker faith?
I think it's action that brought me to my Quaker faith. It was the Quakers that I met at the gates of Aldermaston and Pass Lane. It was the Quakers who looked after me when I needed somewhere to stay. And it was the Quakers that made me realise that peace on its own is so closely tied with equality and truth and simplicity. And those are the values that Quakers try to live by. So living by them is not so much an action as a way of life.
And are there ways in which that way of life becomes more real for you through days like today or other forms of work that you do?
Days like today are all about sharing and bringing it home that you don't have to change the world all on your own. A life well lived is a life that's coherent with what you value. And if you think that life is precious, then you have to be an activist of some kind. Whether that's in your choice of fair trade tea bags or in your out there cutting edge, getting elected, maybe getting arrested, whether it's signing a petition, going to a vigil, looking after someone in need, all those things class as activists and support and are supported by what you believe in.
So I understand that you will be speaking on the radio as a Quaker soon on a very interesting topic. Maybe you'd like to tell us more about that.
Well, the topic is the Nobel Peace Prize, which has just been awarded to ICAN, which is the International Campaign Against Nuclear Weapons. They've done amazing things in bringing countries together for a nuclear weapons ban. We have conventions against chemical weapons, biological weapons, landmines and cluster bombs. But we don't, as yet, we didn't have anything against nuclear weapons. We now do. There's a nuclear weapons treaty, which has been signed up to by, I think it's 123 countries. Sadly, the UK and the US are boycotting them. They're not even at the table, never mind taking a position at the table. And I think that's incredibly sad.
And what is it that listeners can do to move that along?
Everyone can write to their MP, talk to their MP about the Nuclear Weapons Convention and put pressure on the government to represent us at the table.
So I know that within Quaker Peace and Social Witness we produce guides for Quakers who would like to lobby their MP and make sure that their views are taken into account within their constituency. So that's a form of support that is available to anyone who's listening. You can just write to us at qpsw@quaker.org.uk and request hard copies of the packs or online versions, and we'll put something in the show notes for anyone who's interested in doing that. Before we wrap up, Leslie, is there any final words you'd like to finish on?
Quakers talk about living adventurously. We live in very interesting times, and in any adventure, the stakes are high, the odds are tough, the outcome is uncertain. But we're not on our own. We can work together. Quakers have produced a lot of online tools, like the Toolkit for Action, the How to Lobby, the How to Organise a Hustings, How to Hold Your MPs to Account. You can do that with other people. Don't be shy of it. Have a go.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us, and hope you enjoyed the Quaker Activist Gathering.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leslie.
Cheers.
Hi, Suki here, and I'm here with Lawrence Hall, a young Quaker who I met at the Quaker Activist Gathering and is working on developing a concern around housing. Lawrence, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in housing?
Well, I'm under 35, which automatically makes me fairly interested in housing, and I come from London, which obviously, as many of your listeners know, although this is a nationwide thing, London's particularly badly hit by the housing crisis. And I grew up in a community which has really been devastated by the housing crisis, particularly with young people having to move away from the communities that they love and grew up in.
And whereabouts is that?
That's South London.
Right, yeah.
And it's just something that's both something that drives the sense of equality and my faith, and also something that I've had got several friends and family have been really affected by this.
Oh, okay, yeah. So how is it that you're working on housing as an issue?
Well, I think, the main thing I'm doing at the moment is I'm organising a monthly meeting for worship at Grenfell Tower, which I'm sure many of your listeners know was where the horrible fire happened this year, in which tens of people were killed, and we all saw all the policy crimes, really, that happened that drew to that terrible, terrible event. And it's really motivated by that we're having a meeting, not only having a meeting for worship there as a unique Quaker contribution, but also we're joining thousands and thousands of other people who do a silent march around the local community to symbolise both their solidarity with the families and the other people who have suffered from this horrible event, but also that this should never happen again anywhere in Britain or in the world.
Absolutely. And you attended the most recent silent march. What was your experience of it?
It is probably, this is hyperbolic, but it's probably one of the most emotional and moving things I think I've ever done, definitely for activism. You just are with thousands of other people in total silence for about an hour and 45 minutes, walking along, and you really need the support of the others around you because you're so overwhelmed by the feeling of anger, of sadness, but also of hope that thousands of other people share your concern and want this never to happen again, and share your sense of social justice.
Yeah. And you brought about the meeting for worship. Can you tell us a bit about who came?
Well, essentially it was a mixture of people. Firstly, I'm very involved in young Quakers, and particularly London young Quakers, so quite a few people from there came. But I think a big bulk came from a Quaker activist gathering organised by Quaker Peace and Social Witness, happened the same day. So I was able, through social media and through just making appeals at the gathering, and people who had come from all over the country also came to the meeting for worship and the silent march, and that was really helpful because people were really galvanised to do something instead of just talking about it.
Amazing. And is there a plan to hold the meeting for worship again?
Yeah, we hope to. The silent march is the 14th of every month.
So there will be a silent vigil every month, but how long will those meetings go on for?
I think they're going to go on until there's a sense that justice has been done with Grenfell, and that justice has not only been done for that one tower and that one investigation, but that justice has been done to all social housing and private housing tenants, that they have a safe and secure home. And I think until that happens, I think the march will go on. Mm. Thousands and thousands of people will march, and Quakers, I hope, will be a crucial part of that.
And There will be another meeting in November, is that right?
Yeah, there'll be another meeting on November the 14th. We'll hopefully get all the promotion out soon. We're just trying to organise the final details. And I hope as many people as possible can join.
So for those who aren't able to make the meetings for worship at Grenfell, are there other ways that Quakers can support this move towards making housing more equal?
Oh, certainly. They can get involved in local housing activism and national housing activist groups, you know, all around the country, and really active in their own way. But also Quaker Meets themselves can do so much. If they have a meeting house and they're thinking about how they should use it, housing in a socially just way is a really good way. You can get amazing help from Quaker Housing Trust, which will give you loans, non-interest loans, might I add, and grants to get you started and get you looking into how you can use your building for a socially just process. And yeah, you've just got this, or you just need enthusiasm and to think it's possible, not just go back onto the system as it currently is, because the system as it currently is leads to Grenfell, leads to suffering, leads to homelessness. And the worst thing you can do is not be active. Just find how you can be active in your own way, and that will be the best way you can help.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Lawrence. I know our next podcast will actually look more deeply at the issue of housing, and so tune in for that if that's an area that you're interested in. And thanks very much, Lawrence.
Thank you.
Wow, Lawrence always sounds really busy. I know that he's been involved in lots of different things, but that's something I hadn't heard him talk about before. He's also, I think, the editor of The Young Quaker, so if you're interested in following up, find out more from that.
Oh, I never knew that. So one of the resources that we offer to anyone who is listening is our Toolkits for Action. These are toolkits that have been written offering guidance on how to organise an action, how to organise a vigil, how to use social media, how to contact the media about something that you're doing. Some really straightforward tips in there that can really help people. And we can send you print copies, or we can send you online versions, and we'll add the link to the online versions in the notes. So make sure to check that out.
Yeah, really helpful stuff that. I know that I've used them in the past. They're kind of very helpful. It's like a little checklist of, have I done this? Have I done this? Ooh, I should think about this too. So yeah, really useful. And obviously you can always listen to this podcast to get more ideas and some inspiration. And you can find out more about what other Quakers are doing. And there's a section on the website called Stories of Witness, all about different Quaker actions. And don't forget that you can rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people to find it. And you can leave any comments on social media using the hashtag QWitness, and we'll pick those up.
To keep up to date with Quaker news between episodes, just follow British Quakers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Thanks for listening.
Go well, friends.